Okay. I want to begin by knowing, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to begin by noting that I'm traveling today. And so if I go out, I'm sorry. I'll be back. Just carry on. All right. We are meeting virtually pursuant to Public Act 101-06-40 and the Governor's Disaster Proclamation Order dated July 23rd, 2021. And as renewed most recently on May 27th, 2022, in Section 7E of the Open Meetings Act. As chair, I have determined that a fully in-person meeting is not practical nor prudent due to the disaster. The June 27th meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is being conducted virtually and is hereby called to order. Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Present.
Trustee David, she's absent. Trustee Chiara.
Present.
Trustee Schneider.
Present.
Trustee Smart.
Present.
Trustee Timms.
Present.
Trustee Watkins.
Present.
And Chair Zopp.
Present. Welcome all. I want to particularly welcome our new trustee, Cheryl Watkins, to her first MERT meeting. She was, our last meeting was like one day after she got appointed. I also want to welcome back Trustee Smart, who was our student trustee last year and just recently won her re-election to stay on the board this year, which is great news for the students at Chicago State and great news for us. So congratulations, Trustee Smart. And I also want to welcome Jason Carter, who is our incoming interim general counsel. We are very, very sad to lose Walter Pryor, who has been doing an amazing job here at Chicago State. But Jason, we are super excited to have Jason on board and to welcome him to Chicago. So good afternoon, everybody. It is really terrific to see you. And let me now find, now in all my things, I lost what I'm supposed to be saying. Okay. All right. A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Bates, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair Zopp. The meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, Gwendolyn Brooks Library buildings, and online.
Next, we will go to approval of the board meeting agenda. I know that we've had to make one amendment to the agenda. And that is that Michael Holmes, who is the head of our facilities and operations, was supposed to do a presentation on capital expenditures. Unfortunately, he had a family emergency and had to leave. And so he will not be here and we will not have that presentation today. Although I do know that all the trustees have seen the materials. So with that amendment, which is the removal of Michael Holmes' presentation, may I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, agenda is approved. At this time, we will hear public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics: issues under negotiation as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individuals to employees, or any personnel matters. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes. Ms. Bates, do we have any individuals who signed up for public comment?
Chair Zopp, at this time, we have no individuals signed up to speak.
All right. Next, we'll have approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes of the May 24th meeting? To approve the minutes? And Let me try this again. I move to approve the minutes. May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Davis absent. Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair's up.
Approved. All right. And next on the agenda is the President's Report. President Scott, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Trustee Zopp. Chair's up, and good afternoon, trustees. I'm happy to join you this afternoon to offer just a brief update on university activities. First of all, I too would like to take the opportunity to congratulate Essence Smart on her re-election to serve as our student trustee. We're so pleased to have her. Not only is she an incredible student trustee, but she's an incredible advocate for Chicago State, including serving as one of our cheerleaders. So congratulations, Trustee Smart. We look forward to continuing to work with you and witnessing your leadership journey as you move through Chicago State University. I also like to take this opportunity to thank Walter Pryor. On June 30th, Walter Pryor will end his time as interim general counsel for Chicago State University. And I cannot say enough about his work as our interim general counsel. He has been involved in so much and done so much in the time that he has been with us, including leading our weekly COVID-19 task force. Walter, we will miss you. And we thank you for staying 6 months after your original commitment to Chicago State. So we wish you well in your journey after your time here with us. I also want to talk a little bit about our new Child Development Center. On June 1st, Chicago State University and the Chicago State Foundation held a grand opening of the Dr. David Canis Child Development Center. We were honored to welcome Nancy Ratner and the Ratner family. It was a Ratner family that provided the transformative gift that led to the construction of the Child Development Center in honor of the legacy of Dr. David Canis and his time here as not only the head of our grants, but also as a chemistry professor at Chicago State. We also were joined by Dr. Peggy Montez and her family. Dr. Montez is a member of our foundation board. She previously served as the chair of the board of Chicago State. She also provided a gift toward the assets that will support the Child Development Center. Namely, she financed the playground, and it's a wonderful, wonderful facility and playground. We thank Trustee Cheryl Watkins for attending that event and for her presence here that day. We were also joined by several members of the General Assembly, including Senator L.G. Sims, Representative Marcus Evans, and Representative Nip Smith. We also want to thank the CSU alumni, faculty, and other members of the campus who attended the ceremony and also toured the center. The center is designed to serve children from age 3 to age 12, and we have a home visiting program that is associated with the center. It will host a Head Start pre-K program and after school care. We're also wanted to highlight this afternoon a gift that we have received from Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. You may recall that in the sorority itself had as part of a four-year $10 million goal set by the Supreme Bachelor's Dr. Glenda Glover, who's also president of Tennessee State. They sought to honor our HBCU and PBI family of universities and promised and committed $100,000 to various schools that were chosen by the sorority. In 2019, we received our first gift of $50,000. And this year we were notified that we're receiving an additional $50,000 gift from the sorority. Dr. Glover implemented this program when she took over leadership of the sorority in 2018. And I'd like to conclude my remarks by sharing that on May 26, Chicago State was pleased to welcome the CEO of ComEd, Gil Quiñones, to our campus. He visited our campus with members of his team to learn more about Chicago State and our STEM education program. During this visit, he heard directly from our students and faculty about current CSU-led research and visited the Student Union Building that is named after a former Commonwealth Edison executive and former member of our foundation, Cordell Reed, who was one of the first Black engineers at ComEd. We were also visited last week by Eileen Mitchell, who's the president of AT&T Illinois and members of her executive team as part of Chicago State's ongoing relationships with AT&T and their commitment to our student success strategy. I look forward to the exciting work to come and thank the Board of Trustees for your partnership as I conclude my first 4 years as president of Chicago State. They have been nothing but eventful, but they have also been some of the most rewarding years of my life. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, President Scott. Are there any questions or comments for President Scott on her report? If not, then we will move on to academic and student affairs. And I will call on Dr. Leslie Roundtree, our interim provost and Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, to give the Academic Affairs Report.
Thank you, Chair Zopp. Actually, we have a very short report this meeting. I would just like to share that we have received 5-year approval for our Institute for Solutions of Urban Populations. That institute is our hub that we developed as part of the Illinois Innovation Network, which is a collaborative between all of the public universities to try to build economic development, research, and workforce through our educational institutions. So we were able to submit our application, and through approval of the Institute, we have also received official approval of our Illinois Center for Education Equity, which will help us to continue the work of the Education Equity Group that was started last year. And we also received approval for the Center for Workforce Equity. So we believe this really positions us well to continue some of the interdisciplinary and partnership work that we have been undertaking in the last year or two. It will be housed in Douglas Hall, and you may or may not remember, we received $2.8 million from the governor to begin the renovation, and that work is happening at the same time as the interdisciplinary simulation lab work is occurring in Douglas. So we're extremely excited about this opportunity. And we think this center will position us well to house our research and our partnerships within the city and the state.
Thank you, Dr. Roundtree. Any questions? It's exciting work, and congratulations on getting all the approval. Thank you for that. I just have a question, Dr. Roundtree, around the process and preparations for our accreditation review and just the timing. Can you just give us a brief overview of when that's going to happen and the work that's been going on for that? Because I know it has been significant, and I think it would be good for the board, because we have some new board members may not have been here when we initially started. So it'd be good to for you just give an overview of timing and what you've been doing to prepare.
Okay, we are expecting a reaccreditation visit from the Higher Learning Commission. We are scheduled for February 27th and 28th of 2023. We have been working for a couple of years on the self-study document, or what they call the assurance report, which pulls together the events and the activities that have been going on CSU campus that address the 5 criteria. That report will be submitted in approximately December of this year. At this point, we've had a working committee on campus, and This summer, we are working very diligently with our non-academic units to make sure that they understand what's necessary from their side of the house to support the accreditation visit. We hope to work with the trustees in the coming fall semester because you are also a vital part and you are one of the criteria that needs to be addressed so that you can become familiar with the process as well. We feel confident that we are on the right track for this visit, but it is a preparation of the entire campus and the student body. So this fall, we will be having many more larger meetings to discuss with the campus constituency how they will participate in the accreditation site visit.
Thanks, Dr. Rountree. All right, with that, we're gonna move on to enrollment management. I'm gonna turn it over to Kim Tran, Chief of Staff to the President, who has been stepping into the dual role of supporting enrollment management. Go ahead, Kim, please.
Great. Good afternoon, Chair Zopp and trustees. I'm happy to present the enrollment management report on behalf of the university, and I'm gonna go ahead and share my screen now. So we wanted to start off by sharing with the trustees the landscape of updated figures. And you'll note the figures being presented today are run as of June 27th, year to date, year over year rather, for June 27th. These are updated figures than what had been previously shared with the board in the board report. We continue to see some early momentum in both summer and fall. Again, these figures are for June 27th compared to June 27th, 2021 versus June 27th, 2022 for both the summer and fall undergraduate terms. I also want to recognize that the board has made a request to see some additional details regarding these figures to be able to compare class standing among a breakdown of these figures by class standing as well as comparison to years prior, and we'll certainly we'll have that report ready for the board shortly as well. But with this year-over-year landscape view of our summer and fall undergraduate term, I wanted to help put some context for why we believe that we're starting to see these figures. First, I do want to share that a late May 2020. To update published by the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center noted that undergraduate and graduate enrollment declines continued throughout the last spring semester that has just closed, with post-secondary institutions having lost a significant number of students, nearly 1.3 million students since spring 2020, the onset of the pandemic. In particular, public institutions such as community colleges, which serve as a major pipeline into Chicago State University, continue to suffer the steepest undergraduate enrollment declines over this past spring. And we do expect that as national researchers continue to examine the enrollment figures, the impact that it will have for and publishing results on and research on how it will impact this fall, upcoming fall 2022 terms. For our summer and fall terms that were just shared, we do reflect early momentum when comparing year-over-year figures, but we certainly want to maintain that momentum that we have. In particular, we also want to recognize that we believe that the figures demonstrate growth in two specific areas within our undergraduate enrollment. The first is sophomore-level students. And we recognize that this is the culmination of our student success reforms brought on by the Cougar Commitment Program. So these are students who were incoming freshmen last year in fall 2021 and will be sophomore this upcoming fall. And as a culmination of these student success reforms, in particular, the RISE Academy program for freshmen that was universally launched for freshmen last fall, we've been able to demonstrate and provide a specific value to these students as CSU We help demonstrate that CSU is the best fit for their collegiate pursuit by providing the wraparound services and scholarships necessary to support our students through the RISE Academy. And specifically, to share a data point on this point, a recent analysis shows that RISE scholars have stayed enrolled at Chicago State University at a rate 8 times higher than the general freshman population who did not participate in the RISE Academy. For the growth within the freshman level prospective students, again, these are students that are incoming into CSU for the first time. We believe that the growth that we're experiencing at this early momentum is due to the updates to enrollment management strategies that have included data-driven recruitment activities, our prioritization and focus on enrollment yield, that is a focus on increasing the number of those students who register from those who have actually been accepted and admitted into the university, and then focusing on improving processes and customer service to ensure that prospective students have a positive experience, along with larger university initiatives such as brand development and brand engagement that the university has embarked on over the last several years. Additionally, the university just held a new student orientation over the Saturday weekend break, and where there were a number of students for the first time coming to Chicago State University. And these are students who will be registering in the fall, and we'll have an opportunity to have them register for the fall term and being able to be welcomed into the CSU Cougar family. We will soon see those registration numbers reflected in the enrollment headcount figures that were shared earlier as well. I also want to take this time to update the board on multiple new strategies and partnerships that support enrollment growth. The first noted here is Discover Financial Services. Chicago State University is a partner of Discover's Discover College Commitment Program, whereby it's an employee benefit program for Discover employees to be able to pursue multiple undergraduate academic opportunities at CSU. CSU is the only Illinois institution in this partnership, which will allow employees to pursue their goal and also receive some wraparound support to ensure their success at Chicago State University. We've been able to host, for example, a enrollment recruitment event at the grand opening of Discover's Chatham Call Center, where they welcome back their employees, which has resulted in a number of employees initiating applications for the fall 2022 term. And we'll continue to work to enroll these employees in fall and the upcoming spring terms for the university. The second partnership to share is Chicago State University is working with Amazon.com to onboard within the Amazon Career Choice Program. And this is Amazon's tuition benefits program for our Amazon Distribution Center hourly workers. Distinct from the Discover partnership is that Amazon actually within this network has a number of community colleges and universities nationwide that have joined the Amazon Career Choice Program. And a number, in particular, a number within the greater Chicago and Illinois region. And so in order for Chicago State University to distinguish ourselves as a destination, we will be discussing the possibility of on-site credit courses at their distribution center in order to bring the education to the students, the employees as students in order to develop innovative ways to reach new audiences. We are scheduled to participate in Amazon's first ever virtual college fair tomorrow, where our recruiters will speak to prospective students as employees. Finally, to close out this discussion on partnerships, Chicago State University is deploying an enrollment strategy to re-engage and re-enroll stopout students. These are students that have left the university for any number of reasons and have not resumed their collegiate study elsewhere. CSU advocated for and received a $300,000 capacity grant from the Thurgood Marshall College Fund to deploy a stopout student strategy. And we're currently onboarding with the organization that's assisting us with this effort. And we will be utilizing tactics and tools such as predictive data analytics, communications flow, and pathways such as debt forgiveness in order to help former CSU students re-enroll and complete their degrees. We anticipate that this campaign will be able to begin next month in July, which will impact some fall 2022 enrollment, but we anticipate much of the impact to be able to be reflected in this upcoming spring 2023 term. At this time, just want to say thank you, board, and happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions on enrollment management for Kim? All right, we are going to move on to Dr. Nashine Mosley, who is the Dean of Student Success Programs, who will present our Did You Know segment. Dr. Mosley, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Zapp. Good afternoon, Board of Trustees, and thank you for the opportunity. I will begin sharing my screen. I just have a brief presentation to discuss our current student success strategies. Sorry. Okay, so student success falls under our Cougar commitment, which is essentially a student-centered partnership that is split between our students, our families, as well as our communities in the area. Using our Cougar commitment, we have a three-pronged approach, which is data-driven academic programs, well-being supports, as well as scholarships. And we use those to increase enrollment, retention, as well as graduation rates for the university. Within our Cougar commitment or within our student success initiative, we have several areas. We have our federally funded TRIO programs. We have dual enrollment. We have our RISE Academy first year experience program, as well as academic advising. So I'll break down just briefly what these four areas are up to or what we've been up to lately. Our Upward Bound programs, we have two TRIO programs, one of which is Upward Bound, which was currently refunded for 5 years at $1.5 million through 2027. We also, that program in particular focuses on 9th through 12th graders, providing academic and summer enrichment for 60 high school students. And we currently have 30 students that are enrolled for the summer of 22. Our Project Success Education Opportunity Center was also refunded in the fall of 21 through 2020, I'm sorry, through 2026 at $2.8 million. And that program has ongoing visits to the Illinois Department of Corrections, Chicago Public Schools, and other community-based agencies to serve nearly 1,200 adults that are interested in higher education. Our dual enrollment program, we currently, we actually have three students that completed our fall 21 courses. Five students just completed our spring 22 courses, and we currently have four students that are enrolled in summer, and we're anticipating 15 students that will be enrolling in our fall 22 courses. And we attribute that increase in that number, one, to our amazing director for our dual enrollment program, but two, to the partnership with the new partnership that she's building with Corliss High School and Harlan High School. Under our scholarship supports, we have our Hope Chicago Scholarship, as well as our RISE Academy Scholarship. Currently, we are working with, we're actually in the phase of our first real cohort. We had one cohort last year that was a pilot cohort. So we'll be bringing in a new cohort of students this year. We are working with five schools that include Johnson College Prep, Juarez Community High School, Morgan Park High School, Al Raby, as well as Farragut High School. We currently have four Hope Scholars that are enrolled for the summer of 22, and we're anticipating additional three students that will be enrolling in the fall semester. We meet monthly with our Hope Chicago partners, as well as with our City Colleges of Chicago partners to just discuss strategies. Since this is the first time out, we recently signed our MOU for the Hope Chicago program. So we want to discuss strategies, processes, and just make sure that we are all working together to make sure that our students and our families are best supported as they go through the Hope Chicago program. Our RISE Academy program, we actually just had our RISE Academy orientation today. I'm happy to report that we hired our director for RISE Academy, Dr. Leotis Rowe, who has come to us from Purdue University. He started on June 1st, and we are anticipating 50 students that will be in our first cohort. We actually have 50 attend our orientation today. 40 of them were in person, not including the parents. that attended, and then we had 10 students that attended virtually. Our first cohort will take place next Tuesday on July 5th and run through, it's for 5 weeks, and it'll run through August 5th. And then the second cohort will take place August 1st, and the third cohort will begin when our special sessions start on August 17th. Our overall goal for Rise Academy, I wanted to add, is 200 students. So we're anticipating having higher amounts for our second cohort to help us reach that goal of 200 students. Our academic advising also falls under our student success initiatives. And our academic advising right now is focused on Inside Track. And Inside Track is it's a coaching model. It's a very intrusive coaching model that teaches foundational supports to not only our advising staff, but also our faculty advisors that are working with our students to provide really high level, high touch impact and interactions to support them beyond the classroom. We use it, we anticipate having Inside Track to just better support our students with their retention, persistence, as well as their satisfaction of the university. There is an upcoming fall training that our faculty and advisors will be going through that Inside Track will be providing August 17th through 18th. It's a 2-day training, and it's open to faculty and advisors that are interested in attending. In terms of advising initiatives, this past Saturday, as Kim mentioned, we had an orientation on campus where more than 100 students were on campus. Our advisors actually registered on the spot 30 students on this past Saturday to make sure that they were ready for either this incoming Rise Academy or this upcoming fall semester. And I should mention that that orientation was open to not only our first year students, but transfer students that are coming in as well. Our registration is ongoing and will continue throughout the summer for the first 3 weeks in August. We did get the message today that our registration system will be down for a couple of days, but we don't anticipate that impacting being able to make sure that our students are advised in time for the fall semester. The Advising Center is also working on workshops for the fall semester, which will include but are not limited to just teaching our students how to write, email etiquette, in-person communications when, dealing with faculty members and staff members, putting an emphasis on our students that may be on academic probation to make sure that we can support them to get off academic probation and be able to successfully register for their spring semester. We'll be working with our students on degree planning, mental health, as well as stress management. In addition to that, we'll be working with our Career Development Center to ensure that, in addition to the faculty, working with kind of like this three-pronged area to ensure that not only are students coming in being advised on, taking the proper classes, but making sure that by the time they graduate, they're not just eligible to get a job, but making sure that they're able to have a career that they can focus on. That concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Do we have any questions for Dr. Mosley? Thank you, Dr. Mosley. Just one thing for me, as we go through this program, I think it's really important. And we saw a little bit of the data in Kim's report, Kim Tran's report. But I would love for you to think about at the end of the semester or at the end of the academic year, coming back and giving us some numbers around is it working? It seems to be, and the numbers that Kim gave us would suggest that. But what you think is working, what you might think you might have to adjust, and anything else you think we should be adding that we don't have that we ought to be thinking about. So thank you for all the work you're doing for our students, and thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add one thing, if I could.
Yes,
First of all, Dr. Mosley started this role as an interim in February. This is the first time we've ever had a Dean of Student Success. And I want to tell you, I'm so proud of the work she's done. And she was officially appointed to the role on June 1. So this is a brand new job to Chicago State. We've taken our student success strategy and housed it under one dean. To really track our data and to be more effective in managing the entire suite of programs. So first of all, I want to congratulate her for accepting the job and for her wonderful presentation today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for letting us know. I think, you know, this has been a topic on which you have focused since you started, but I think the rigor is becoming, it's getting more and more rigorous. And that's why I think it's a good time for us to start thinking about looking at impact, and particularly given now that we have an accomplished dean running the program. So we thank you both, and we look forward to hearing more.
Thank you.
All right. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Trustee Smart for our student affairs report. Trustee Smart.
Hello, everyone. One moment. I'm just going to share my screen.
Okie doke.
Can everyone see?
No, not yet.
Oh, I had to press start broadcast. I'm sorry. Okay. Can everyone see now? Okay. There it goes.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. This is my student trustee board report. It's gonna, not too many things to talk about, but student clubs and organizations. The student clubs and organizations I would like to shout out are going to be the National Council of Negro Women, PsyCHI, which is the International Honor Society in Psychology, and the Black Student Psychological Association. Here we have two pictures from the National Council of Negro Women induction ceremony. Here we have photos of the Black Student Psychological Association and PsyCHI. I also had the opportunity to attend the Women in the Forefront luncheon alongside President Scott and three other students. And here are some pictures from those. That's me, Essence Smart, to the left. In the red, we have Tajanae West, Quintina Cox, and Takaya Walker, and President Scott. And here we have another picture with me again, Tajanae, Quintina, Takaya, and we have Jamel and Aspen in the back. Student clubs and organizations were working as the semester came to an end. And Chicago State University has been nothing short of amazing this semester with the help of our student organizations and our efforts to make Chicago State University thrive. And this concludes my report. I come back.
Thank you, trustees. Thank you, Trustee Smart. Appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed the luncheon.
Yes.
All right, I'm now going to turn it over to Trustee Schneider for the Audit Committee, Finance and Audit Committee report.
Great. So I'll begin by calling on Mr. Craig Deitch, CFO, to present the financial operations report along with two resolutions, please.
All right, thank you very much, Trustee Schneider. And hello, trustees, it's always great to see you. I have two items today which will require your approval. The first is the fiscal year 2023 preliminary operating budget. And the second is the fiscal year 2024 capital and operating budget request. So I'm gonna begin with the 23 preliminary operating budget. The Illinois Board of Higher Education, or IBHE, requires that a preliminary budget is passed each year by July 1st. So each June, we bring to you a preliminary budget for the upcoming year. Then in September, we'll be presenting to you a final budget for the year. Between now and the September meeting, we'll be looking at changes in enrollment and related tuition and fees, and also assess other critical spending to determine if any changes are needed. We are presenting to you today an $85.3 million operating budget. We conducted a preliminary budget review for fiscal year 23 based on the state appropriation bill, internal forecast of tuition and fees based on our enrollment, projected income generating activities from auxiliary operations, as well as projected grants and contracts. The total fiscal year 2023 state appropriation is $40 million, which is the same funding level as fiscal year 22, accounting for the 5% supplemental increase we received during fiscal year 22, which was $1.7 million. You will notice in Exhibit A, a $6 million gap in our local income revenue and expenses. This is based on just under flat overall enrollment in total credit hour enrollment for both new and returning students, which is where we stood when we completed these projections. As Kim noted earlier, you know, we will be reviewing our total enrollment projections as we go into the final budget in September, and we will make any adjustments accordingly based on any increase in our enrollment. The preliminary spending plan also for non-appropriated funds shows a projected budget deficit of $2.2 million. I want to talk a little bit about how we're going to be covering those gaps in the revenue and expenses. We will be using two sources of funds to address the total revenue shortfall for fiscal year 22. First, we will be using HRF stimulus funding and MSI funding totaling $3.35 million for lost revenue in fiscal year 22, the year we're in, which we will carry over into fiscal year 2023 to cover operating expenses. Secondly, we'll be doing a one-time, using one-time funds from the local income fund of about $5 million to cover any revenue shortfall. We are beginning the fiscal year with a local income fund balance of just under $30 million. So this carryover funding into fiscal year 23 to cover operating expenses can be covered. We have been very careful and thoughtful in our spending and will continue to be as we go into the new year. We are therefore seeking your approval of the $85.3 million preliminary operating budget.
Okay, are there any questions or comments from the trustees? Is there a motion to approve the fiscal 23 preliminary operating budget spending plan and resolution?
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, please call the roll.
Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Okay, then Mr. Deitch, please continue with the second resolution.
Thank you. The second resolution is for the fiscal year 2024 capital and operating budget requests. The Illinois Board of Higher Ed also establishes processes for all of the universities to request state funding. Under this process, universities are required to submit a budget request to IBHE a full year ahead of the start of the fiscal year. So this request is for fiscal year 2024, which begins in July of 2023. The process that we go through here at Chicago State is very collaborative amongst various levels of the university, from the vice presidents to the direct reports and other people within their divisions, the university budget committee, as well as the leadership team to determine where our future priorities will be. On the operating side, we have nine operating budget requests, which total $5.3 million. That is part of Exhibit A. And in the operating side, we are prioritizing primarily around admission and recruitment activities, advertising to students, student success initiatives. And we've also added, going into the year, a focus on employee acquisition and retention to address some of the vacancy and hiring challenges that many institutions have at this time. On the capital side, our request is $166 million, which includes deferred maintenance of $69 million. The capital projects around campus have actually increased significantly over the last year due to Mr. Holmes and President Scott's diligence in pushing with the state and the Capital Development Board. Some of these current projects include parking lots and lighting, the Dickens Athletic Center, the pool, Douglas Hall, the Robinson Center. What we are looking at going forward in your exhibit is priorities around ADA accessibility, basic site improvements, roof repairs, library water issues, and some others. Many of these items on this list you have seen before. We continue to include items on the list as a request to the state until the state both funds the position and actually begins the project on our campus. So until the projects actually start, we do leave them on our list so we can continue to request them and get them prioritized. We are therefore requesting your approval for the fiscal year 24, $166 million capital budget request, which the university will make to the state. So our request is both for the capital and operating budget requests for fiscal year 24.
Okay, are there any questions or comments? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes, Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
Okay, that concludes the Finance and Audit Committee report.
Thank you, Trustee Schneider, and thank you, Craig. Thank you for the impressive work in organizing the budget and managing the expenses and getting us to stability. We're going to recess. We have nothing else on the primary agenda right now. We're going to recess into executive session, and I would ask for...
You actually do have, you have the Chicago State Foundation is the last.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're absolutely right. I sped up. Sorry, I am so sorry, Jameson. I know you're here. I saw you a few minutes ago. I apologize. Jameson Marsh is here for the Chicago State Foundation report. Thank you.
No problem. Give me 1 second to share my screen. Can everybody see my presentation? Yes, okay. So yes, my name is Jameson Marsh. I'm the project manager with the Chicago State Foundation. This is a presentation that I'm sure most of you have seen before, just with some updates. These are our current numbers as of last week for the Chicago State Foundation in terms of fundraising goals. We are expecting a bit of a shortfall in our corporate and foundation funding, just as some of our funders have been slow to distribute funds due to global economic situations, as well as inflation. They're sort of holding off and waiting till the end of the calendar year to make those final decisions. But we have outperformed in both our scholarship gala from last year, as well as alumni and staff giving. Major gifts is down below, but it's sort of covered by individual gifts, as we have not had a director of major gift funding this year. We are in the throes of planning our new scholarship gala that's happening in September. It will be at the Harris Rooftop Theater again. The theme this year is inspiration, as last year's was evolution. We expect to increase attendance by almost 100 due to more opening and sort of better health outcomes and expectations during the COVID pandemic. This will still give us plenty of opportunity to separate people, as well as allow for guests to interact with others, but at a safe distances. We are still working on finalizing our presenting sponsor, as well as some other sponsorship levels. But we are in advanced talks with Chase, as well as AT&T and some other organizations to sponsor the gala. We're also excited that over 14 faculty and staff at CSU have already pledged to give for the gala and receive discounted tickets, as well as a few others that have not done so yet, but have talked to us about making a gift later on this summer. These are some of our partnerships that we've had developed this year, such as Relativity as a returning sponsor for the Rise Academy. Groupon is a new sponsor for this year, who is looking to build a bigger, stronger partnership with the university. the foundation. So we're excited for that for this upcoming fiscal year as well. These are some of the conversations that we're having currently or are in talks with, either renewing funding or initial funding. Particularly, we're excited for McDonald's, who has shared interest in the Center for Workforce Equity, Rise Academy, as well as creating a sort of larger specific partnership just for McDonald's, something that they haven't had in the past with CSU. I would also point out we are waiting to hear back from the Rivers Casino Foundation. They were one of our potential sponsors last year, but were unable to sponsor the gala for legal reasons, but they are interested in sponsoring scholarships for CSU students, as well as Molex, which is a science and engineering STEM corporation in the Chicago area. They have shown interest in a prep program and expanding some of our STEM opportunities on campus. Our board of directors at the foundation has gone above and beyond their expectations in giving this past year at over $150,000. Many of their corporations or friends that they're with sponsored our gala this past year and have continued to give throughout the year. We also last week during our board meeting approved three new board members. From various corporations, Yemi Akisanya, who is the global head of diversity, equity, inclusion at Groupon, Kimberly Evans, the head of corporate sustainability, inclusion, and social impact at Northern Trust, and Katrina Jackson, who is the global head of diversity, equity, inclusion at Underwriter Laboratories. I'm not sure if at this point, Teresa, if the board of trustees should vote on impaneling these directors.
Jameson, finish your report and then we'll have a vote.
Okay. Some other updates from our directors. Our board secretary, Dorothy Capers, started in a role as senior vice president and general counsel for Xylem Incorporated, which is a water technology company based in New York City. Peggy Montez, as President Scott mentioned, donated $150,000 to the Dr. David Kanis Child Development Center to have a playground created outside the center in her name. She was also renominated for another three-year term to the Chicago State Foundation Board. Some other updates, some of our directors will be stepping down at the end of this fiscal year. Treasurer Kimberly Loftus, Alfreda Bradley Kaur, Adon Navarette, and Cheryl Fuller will end their terms June 30th. Some other events that happened, our Director of Alumni and Individual Engagement, Anna Colseth, attended the Women's History Month luncheon along with Chair Zopp and President Scott, and our board chair, Christina Steed. We were told that it was a wonderful event and participants from the event actually donated over $5,000 in student scholarships after the event. So we were very thankful for that. Also, again, we were happy to help host the opening ceremony for the Dr. David Kanis Child Development Center. All of our board members that attended seemed to really enjoy the opportunity and are very impressed with the construction and the planning for the different services throughout the center. Some updates from our alumni and individual giving. In Q3, we received over $200,000 in donor advised funds from various foundations throughout the country. These funds have been used for various general operating needs as well as scholarships. In March, we launched our spring scholarship appeal and has brought in over $10,000 from alumni specifically. We also continue to update and connect with alumni and community members through Chicago State Legacy, which is our planned giving arm. We've had multiple talks with community members that are updating wills or have had family members pass and are looking to share some of the benefits to Chicago State in new name scholarships. We continue to send out communications consistently to alumni as well as individual members through our Cougar Country newsletter, which is our quarterly newsletter on updates from the foundation, as well as our weekly CSU in Motion, which shares news updates from the university, the foundation, and our community members. This past May, we also held a bench dedication to former CSU faculty member, staff member, and two-time CSU alum, Olive Blair Wall. Friends and former colleagues of hers donated funds to place a memorial bench outside the Student Union building, as well as award a scholarship to a Master's of Counseling student. We were lucky enough to have many of Olive's former faculty members, former colleagues, as well as a lot of her family and friends attend to celebrate her memory and award the scholarship to the student. We are waiting on the official plaque to place out on the bench, but this temporary plaque was out for the ceremony and nearly 50 people attended. So hoping as the pandemic seems to subside, we are able to have more in-person on-campus events. And then finally, as you know, we've had some leadership transition at the foundation with our executive director, Darius Hillman, leaving in March, and our interim executive director and deputy director, Kevin Triskett, leaving in early June. Prior to their transitions, they met with over 100 community members and organizations, giving them updates on the foundation, as well as updates on transition leadership and where the plans for FY23 are going. Through these conversations, we had a lot of verbal agreements to either continue funding in FY23 or renew funding as we go into the new fiscal year. The CSF Board of Directors created a search committee and hired Koya Search Partners, which is a national executive search firm that particularly works with organizations that are mission-driven and have a focus on diversity and equity leadership. I'm happy to share that since I created this presentation, the board of directors has finalized a handful of candidates and are going to meet later this week to make an official offer to our next executive director and have approved our FY23 budget as well and scholarship funding. That is all I have from the foundation. Thank you very much. Oh, Chair's up, you are on mute.
All right, sorry, thanks Jameson. So now we will do the motion for the appointment of the three trustees that have been approved and are presented to us by the Board of the Chicago State Foundation. Those trustees are Katrina Jackson, Kimberly Evans, and Yemi Akisanya to the Board of Chicago State Foundations. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Teresa or Ms. Bates, please call.
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
Chair's up.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right. Thank you, Jameson. Sorry. Now we will move to executive session. I need a motion to do that, please, to recess into executive session.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. Ms. Bates, will you call the roll?
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair's up.
Yes. So we will now go into executive session and then, and that we don't have to do anything. She's just going to send us there. So just hang tight, trustees. And the next time I see you, we will be in executive session. Thank you. And everyone else, we will be back when we have finished there.
Thanks. All right, bear with me while I move. Here we go. All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. having reconvened into open session, we took no action in executive session, and we have no further items on the agenda. And so we are going to move. I take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
That was second. All right, Teresa, Ms. Bates, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
And Chair Zopp.
Yes. Thank you all. Have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Take care.
You guys as well. Thank you.